Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
That might send the Yankees to the World Series. Boom, a hero in Game 7.
Clemens has set a major league record for strikeouts in a game.
Derek Jeter with one of the most unbelievable plays you will ever see by a shortstop.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Welcome back to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. John Stonicle here, Brian Shackman. This is a World Series edition of Fan Base. And we got to, if we're talking about the World Series, we got to bring up a person that's going to haunt the Red Sox for the next 12, 10, 13 years, depending on how good he is at the back end of his career, and that's Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be the curse of the Bambino, but you never know. I mean, the whole country seems to be talking about Mookie Betts, and what's funny is that I have a lot of things.
Someone's talking about a West Coast baseball player. It's amazing.
it's because the East Coast was in love with him first. His line in game one was 2-for-4, an RBI, two runs scored, a K and a walk, and he stole two bases. And I guess
got some tacos.
Yeah, tacos. If you had to register, though. And I guess against the Dodgers in 18,
You
had to, like, sign up for the taco.
Oh, my God. You can't just roll in there?
I don't think so. You used to be able to just roll in there. But that's, they gave way too many tacos, I think.
That's COVID screwing something else up again.
But, you know, it brings up, you know, he just had a perfect night. They try to say, like, only Willie Mays had scored two runs, stole two bases, and hit a home run, like, in a World Series game. They could try to come up with these records.
It seems like anybody
could
do that.
So random, you know, but it's so random.
I feel like Carlos Correa could cheat his way to that.
But the funny thing about Betts, and there's two layers to it. A, his teammates in L.A., they love him.
Yes.
And they just, there's something about him, and, you know, one of my friends.
He's electric.
Well, but it's funny, as a human being, like LaToya Edwards, who I work with, New England Cable News, for years, she got to know Mookie's mom. And she spent time with both the mom and Mookie early in his career. And, like, he's...
Didn't he live with his mother for, like, a long time?
Yeah, and he's a grounded, like, real human being. He comes across maybe as a little bit elusive because it's actually kind of humility sometimes, but he's kind of a quiet, private person, but he's a good person. So you take the fact that he's a legitimately good person, he has a competitive fire that you can't underestimate. Like,
no.
He made a couple of those catches in the NLCS, and he came off the wall just fired up.
And he's so calm about it. Like two of those catches, it was like he knew as soon as that ball was in the air, he was going to catch it.
Yeah.
The one where he came off the wall, I think he was like, damn, dude, that was a great catch.
That could have gone
But the other two, right. He's like, You know, the other one, he was like, got it. But then the shoestring one, I was insane.
He's well, just not just the shoestring catch, but to come up with a throw to throw the guy
and
out
and
the guy,
well, yeah. And he would have been out by a mile if he got his hand on the ball. And he throws, like, you know, from deep, like, shallow right field, flips it. And he's just an amazing athlete.
So, but here's the thing about him as a player. Because in the NLCS, everyone made a big deal about the defense because he didn't hit it all.
Right.
And then he goes into game one of the World Series and he gets on base. And then you are reminded of what he does.
Yep.
And you know what it's like? And because what we talk about, we all know Mookie was traded to the Dodgers and signed this $400 million deal. We can talk about how the Red Sox will regret that forever. But at his best, Ellsbury was very similar, Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah.
Because when Ellsbury at his peak was
on
base,
you get on and change the game.
The pitcher can't not think about right. him all the time.
Yep.
And that's the same with Betts. But the one difference between Ellsbury and Betts is like the smartest base runner you'll ever see. Like, if there's a play on first where, like, they made a fielder's choice at third and the guy's just casually, he won't even stop. He'll run straight to second and take right. the base. Like, he steals bases, not just stealing
them. And Ellsbury's pulling a hammy.
Yeah, or Ellsbury. Right. Ellsbury got hurt stealing second. But those are the things, like, his baseball IQ that we talk about with, like, the Rico Bronias and the Bobby Dickersons of the world. Mookie's baseball IQ is above almost everybody.
It's the intangibles, and that's what you're paying for, though, too, with him. Like, you can dole out all these contracts you want to these big so-called, you know, elite athletes, but very seldom do you get the guy like the LeBron, the Jordan, the, you know, the Jeter, those kind of guys that just have the it factor. And Mookie's got it. He's just got it.
So here's the question, though. Obviously, the Red Sox thought they didn't want to sign him long-term because those 10-year deals end up being an albatross. And I think that the Dodgers made, basically, if they can get one or two World Series out of it, it's worth it even if he can't do anything in the last 3 years of the deal. Now, they ship him off. And it's obviously, anytime you trade a player like that, everyone's going to ridicule you forever. You obviously, from a Yankee fan, think it was a terrible decision.
I would have loved to seen him on the Yankees. I mean, Jesus, I would love it. I was saying he's been one of the best players in baseball for like the last
okay.
4 years.
So let me ask you, I think a Trout, but on the Yankees, think of like Stanton, Judge. Is there anybody who you would take over a Mookie Betts? Because he doesn't
on
have those
Yankees.
Statistics.
No,
on
general.
The Yankees and in general.
In
both.
General. I mean, well, you look at, see, I'm not a big fan of like Ronald Acuna, but like someone like him who's younger, who's going to produce for years to come. He's built right. Like Mookie's built good. He's built for the long term. He's
right.
not a big dude. He's not going to put on a ton of weight.
Right.
As long as he doesn't get Tony Gwynn and get all like, you know, big and chunky.
He won't.
He shouldn't because it's different now. It's the investment's there, but I mean, age-wise, I'd say, you know, like Trout. I mean, you can't ever knock Trout down. He's.
So you take Trout over Betts.
I
not think, a winner, not a winner. Maybe competitive, but like Mookie literally elevates everybody around
yeah,
him.
I feel bad for Trout, but I think he kind of likes his hanging out there for some reason. But as far as age comparison, I would say, you know, Trout and Mookie are right there. They're the two best players in baseball. But I would honestly,
you
I
take Acuna over Betts because he's younger.
I mean, he's younger, but I'm not a big fan of him. You know,
well, you don't know his intangibles.
Exactly. Maybe he doesn't have any other than six chains around his neck. You know? I mean, who knows? I mean, Betts is the guy, dude. He is the guy.
Yeah, it was just incredible to watch. I like seeing how much attention he's getting because I know from covering him and watching him in Boston how sort of he's the package. And when you hear, like, Cody Bellinger talk about how they literally are quoted saying, I love playing with Mookie Betts. You don't see that kind of commentary from these guys in this era because it's about them and they don't, but he had that same environment with Benintendi and JBJ in the outfield.
Maybe
they became
that's what's
this
wrong
sort
with the
of
Red
team
Sox.
What
they don't have that person. They don't have that person to gel them all
a
together.
Spiritual leader.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's 100% true. Now I don't begrudge them for not wanting to pay the $400 million. I don't know what the Red Sox deal is, but I do think that Betts probably didn't love being in Boston.
Yeah,
and I think that's one of the subtle things. Like, maybe he wasn't going to sign no matter what. I don't know. I mean, the Red Sox overpaid. Literally, David Price never wanted to come to Boston. He was fine to go to St. Louis. He was going to go to St. Louis. And then, you know what? The Red Sox offered $30 million more, and his agent said, you can't say no to this. And so...
he didn't want to be there at all.
No, it's true, though. Price never wanted to be in Boston.
No.
He never did. And
hey,
so
he's sitting at home watching the Dodgers play right now.
I know. I wonder how he feels
oh, man,
sitting it out.
Somehow he'll get a slice of of that pie. You know they will. They'll kick him something on the back and didn't pay one game for him, and they'll get a ring out of
it. But it's pretty interesting that he, if they do win, which I do think that they will, I think that the Dodgers will roll in this series. If they do win, how Price feels and how you view him, right? Because, I mean, he had a really good series for the Red Sox and had some redemption when they won it. But at the same time, he doesn't have a
great
reputation.
It's weird, though, how these guys just kind of disappear. Like the other day, they showed like a picture of him on... Like, I don't know. I don't even know what it was. Like, picture him and his daughter or something watching the game. And I was like, oh, my God.
You hadn't even thought about him.
I was like, David Price. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And they didn't miss a beat. You know, John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, fan base, a deep diver in the greatest rivalry in sports. The other thing we want to do today is as we're in the World Series and the Yankees have won 26 of them. I think the Red Sox is 8 or 9. I don't even know. But
27. The Yankees have won.
27, whatever. for us, it's 04, 07, 13, and 18. And you guys haven't won since. What,
2009.
Okay. And then before that it was?
2000.
Okay. So it's two in this century for the Yankees and four for the Red Sox.
Yeah. This century's got a long way to go.
I don't know how much longer it will be. But we thought we would tell not like our greatest sort of baseball moments in our memories of the World Series, because I went to all four of the Red Sox, and I even went to the 03 Yankees. We'll talk about.
Excuse me, I went to all.
Let's talk about one or two of your greatest memories of the World Series as it relates to the Yankees. You will alternate. You do one. I'll do one. Okay. You do one. I'll do one.
All right. So I was too young in '81 to remember. So the first real World Series I remember is '96. And I'm in college.
One of the best teams ever, right?
They didn't win a ton of games. I mean, they won the AL East, but they played the Braves, who were like the juggernaut that year. And they weren't going to win. They weren't supposed to win.
Right. The Braves had won in '95. It was their only title.
Yep. But the Yankees were not supposed to win. But they wound up winning. And then, you know, the game had a lot of great highlights. Andrew Jones was big. Yankees were down up in front. But the best part, I'm in college and I'm living with some football players, and one
bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah, one of the dudes is like straight up hardcore Yankee fan. Like, he's this big, heavy set guy, Mike Gibson, and he is from New York, like the city, just north of the city, I think. I don't know. I can't remember what town, but huge Yankees fan. So the Yankees go down 0-2 in the series, and they're outscored 16-1.
I don't remember that.
16-1 in the first two games. Dude goes out and like burns like his Yankee hat, Yankee jersey out front. We weren't on campus, not on campus.
Right.
We lived off campus, but I remember like my buddy was up and we were just like, "What the hell? Like, this is crazy. This guy's out
and
of his mind."
John was like, "I paid $10 for the shirt. I'm not burning."
And I'm a big Yankees fan, but this guy, I was like, "Holy cow, this guy is hardcore." But then again, you know, the Yankees come back and they win it, so he felt like such a jackass.
That's really funny, though.
But that's my 1996 Yankees World Series story.
I'm gonna go name drop on this first one because I took a job at MSNBC for Morning Joe in the spring of 2013. And so Joe Scarborough is a huge Red Sox fan. And Mike Barnicle was on the staff, obviously the longtime Boston Globe columnist. And I was just the lowest guy on the food chain. But when the Red Sox made the World Series,
nobody cared. None of those old dinosaurs wanted to go.
So Joe Scarborough convinced Steve Ratner, a really wealthy guy, to take his private jet to Boston for...
Nice.
I don't know if it was the deciding game. It was game 5. Now,
where are you
six.
Flying from?
I think
New York to Boston?
Teterboro Airport to Boston.
Right. That's a short hop, but that's still fun.
It's better than driving.
Yeah, it's
so
right.
I had never...
You going to take the Acela?
I had never flown in a private jet before. So we take a private jet, and Joe Scarborough, who makes a lot of money, they set us up at the Commonwealth Hotel. We went to Eastern Standard. We earned the private
jet. Whose jet are you in?
Steve Ratner is his name. He's a wealthy guy who goes on Morning Joe a lot.
He's a Monopoly man.
He's made a lot of money in finance. And then it was Mike Barnicle, and it was Joe Scarborough, and we had Phil Griffin, the president of MSNBC, and Sam Stein, who was a White House correspondent at the time. It was a huge Red Sox fan.
At some point, I'm sure, like, a bunch of those people came across in an email chain through my email at some point.
Probably, No, there's no doubt
Senior
about it.
Senior leadership change.
But it was...
We'd like to announce that five people have disappeared in a black car.
No, I'm serious. Like, this is what it was. And we go in there, and what we were going to do is we were going to do the show from... the field the next morning. And so with this whole game, I don't even remember the game. I just remember I was quiet. I was sort of in awe of the whole thing. And I was new and I didn't want to like make anybody mad or say something stupid.
Did you guys drink on the plane?
I think we may.
You can't go.
Well, Joe Scarborough, I don't think he had.
You can't go on a private jet and not have a drink.
I took whatever they gave me. You know, like if they gave me peanuts, I ate peanuts.
On a Fresca.
But I know I was in like a captain's chair, and then we like Eastern Standard was like an hour and a half wait, and Scarborough walks right in, and we get a table of like 10. It was amazing. But the next morning was it. They clinched the World Series, and because the ownership group of the Red Sox really liked the show, they let us set up shop on the field. And I don't know if it's like at Yankee Stadium, but at Fenway, they don't like anybody touching the grass but the players.
Yeah.
And we literally, I don't know if they didn't know or the ownership said they let them do what they want.
Yeah.
We went everywhere we wanted. We went into the Monster to check out the
signature. Do whatever you wanted.
We actually, remember the Torrey Hunter non-catch in the ALCS when his butt was in the air and the cop was like this?
Yep.
And so we wanted one commercial break. Sam Stein and I, we were mic'd up. We ran out to the fence. He went into the bullpen. I went over the thing with my ass in the air.
I remember watching this.
And we recreated it. It was the most incredible 24 hours. And not so much for the game, but the fact that we could do this TV show on the field and we could go wherever we want. Like, I literally got to run on the field.
It's crazy. And that wasn't that long ago. Like, that's 2013.
Right.
Like, and you got that access. Now, I remember going to the 2000 Subway Series when I was working for NBC Connecticut as a photographer.
So pre-9/11.
Pre-9/11, right? And back when you could do, like, anything. Like, so, like, you know, we just, oh, yeah, well, this is NBC. You know, we want to get some passes to the World Series. Next thing you know.
You got them.
You got them. You know, you got four passes to the World Series or whatever. But you could do that back then. But I was actually down there legit. You know, there were some other people that weren't legit, but whatever. Right. But, they had passes, so they are legit. But they weren't working.
Acting like they were working. Sure.
Yeah.
There's tons of journalists, by the way, who get their credentials, have nothing to do work-wise, and go either A, to watch it, or B, say that they went there.
Yeah. I've done it a lot. It's great. It's awesome. Especially when you have a monitor in front of you, and you can watch it, and you can be like, watch it, and look over, and be like, oh, that pitch was a strike.
Right.
Watch the game live. So anyways, we're at the 2000 World Series. You know, we're...
You with Kevin Nathan?
I think I was
Holder.
Sweet Lou Holder.
Yeah, nice.
Yep. He was going to Boogie Down Bronx, you know. So game one, I believe the Yankees won. I can't remember. But game two is the big one, right? So we do all the pregame stuff and we're, you know, doing the live shots, blah, 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 blah.
From the field, live shot from the field?
I think we did live shots from the field, yeah. Like, but I think we like hijacked WNBC. Yeah. So they're all fawning over Beck. You know, he's over there fawning over him, and I'm just sitting there waiting to get on so I can go watch the game.
Right.
Anyway, so that we get all done with that, and the scrub seats for that time were in the upper deck, left field line. But they were still good seats because they actually like built like wood into it, so you actually had like a
tabletop.
Tabletop. Yep. So they took out like the front row of each section. So it actually hurt them by taking out the fans, but it was kind of cool because you still had a monitor. So I remember going up there and we're watching, and game two is a game where roided up Clemens throws the bat at Piazza.
Oh, yeah, the broken bat.
The broken bat at Piazza. And he's like, oh, I thought it was the ball. Like, okay, I thought it was the ball. OJ thought it was someone else too, right? I thought it was a cougar.
I thought it was the ball. I just reacted and threw it.
Yeah. So anyways, I remember sitting up there, and I remember looking over to my friend that's standing there, and I'm like, did he just throw the bat
I remember that.
At him? And he's like, yeah, I think he just threw the bat at him. I'm like, just in awe.
Did he get a check? He didn't get a check,
no,
did he?
No, of course not.
I remember that with Piazza. It was like, everyone was like, what was that?
Yeah. It was so weird, and then you watched it back on TV, and you just realized how much, like, weird it is, and like he had to have been juiced up.
Yeah.
Like who? Like
he. Just,
what normal person is that? Like.
Well, the adrenaline. I don't think you and I can even forget about the fact that maybe there was some medically induced element to it. Just the adrenaline of the moment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and the rivalry, the intensity.
Piazza's in the Hall of Fame, and Clemens will never get in.
You don't think he'll ever get in?
No. No. You know why? Because he said it in his first thing. He said, "You think I give a rat's ass about the Hall of Fame?" He said it. He came right out and said it. You think any of those people are going to forget that?
I hope not. I mean, listen, Clemens was a poster on my wall and when I was a teenager. So
Rocket.
I loved him.
I had the poster, too.
He disappointed me a great deal.
He sucks.
But he was great without roids. So, I mean, 86 was the greatest.
You know what his claim to fame is now going to be? pitching when he's like 60 at the University of like Texas in some alumni game.
I used to like how he would skip spring training in like the first month of the season and then sign for $22 million.
$22 million in late June.
Yeah.
You know?
We got a couple quick last stories here. Mine's really quick. In 03, when I was, I don't know if I replaced Lou Holder. I don't know if there was anyone in between.
No one can replace Lou Holder.
No, I know, but I don't know if I came after him, you know, for, at NBC 30. But I went down. I guess Kevin didn't like to do the World Series in New York. But I was there for the clinching game against the Marlins in 03.
Yep.
And I'll never forget being on the field, Carl Pavano, who was a Red Sox draft pick. And I think
Connecticut's own.
And I wonder if they were. I think he might have been a Red Sox family. I can't remember if they were Yankee family or Red Sox family. They were a Yankee family. But I remember his mom on the field after they won. She was so jacked up, and like she was just trashing the Yankees.
Really?
Just like trashing them.
And then he signed with them.
I know.
And she was like wearing all the gear the next year.
It was so funny. But she's sitting there behind home plate.
I wonder how she feels in her nice car now.
So happy. I know she made a lot of money. And just the, you know, the proud mom, you know, the Tiger mom, so excited and jacked up. And she was just ripping the Yankees to shreds. It was hysterical.
Yankees have bought mama a lot of gifts, I bet.
I think they have. They bought a lot of mamas a lot of gifts.
Yeah.
What's your last one?
All right. So 2001 World Series, post 9/11, right after the World Series is postponed.
Right.
Pushback. Not postponed, pushback. And I go down. We don't get credentials this time. Not as easy.
Well, security is crazy.
Don't just make a phone call. Security is insane. Like, they're not letting, like, hardly anybody in there. I think, like, WNBC is the only NBC that's in there, and Network, you know, which is basically WNBC. And the people that are broadcasting it, at the time, I think probably was NBC still broadcasting the World Series.
Yep.
We go down there because we're doing a story outside the stadium. Gotta be live, right? You know, fine. I want to go. It's a World Series. And it was just insane, the level of security. Well, Bush is throwing out the first pitch.
So that was you were there the night that Bush is...
Yeah, Bush is throwing out the first pitch. They had, like, decoy Marine ones flying in. There was, like, three or four different ones that flew in. The amount of guys that were there with, like, long guns was insane. And the metal detectors, the dogs, it was just nuts. Like it was like you were afraid to point your camera at people.
Right, because it was suspicious.
It was so much security, and it was like it was such an uncertain time. Like the nation, like if people remember, obviously, like there's people that would be that might watch this that have no clue what we're talking about because it was, you know.
So
a
just
while ago.
For perspective, after 9/11. We realized in this country how little we knew about what was around us, how bad our security was. I did the Salt Lake Olympics, what was that? It was later, and it was the same thing.
Like, crazy.
The security was incredible. So the reaction until we figured out what the heck was going on was to lock everything down.
Which is pretty sad because we don't do that anymore except for airplanes. Like, we don't even come close to doing that.
Right, it is tough to fly. I remember pre-9/11 when I worked at ESPN, we played a game of how close to my departure time.
Oh my God, dude, you could walk up 15 minutes beforehand.
Yeah,
be like, it's like
incredible.
Catching a Greyhound.
But to be there that night, like,
oh, it's nuts.
To be there so you didn't get in.
We couldn't get in.
Right.
We couldn't get in. We did a story outside. But just seeing, like, I was never privy to that ever. I mean, I've covered presidents. You know, like, the level of security was just insane. Like,
was there a sense of, like, because there was that balance of like nervousness and intensity, but also like patriotism was sort of at an all-time high.
Patriotism was nuts at the time, and then when Bush came out and threw that strike,
it was incredible.
It was incredible. It was a great moment for the country, and you know it would have been even better if the Yankees way it worked out.
It would really. I mean, I would have been okay with them winning that.
Yeah, I think everyone would have.
Yeah,
except Arizona fans, which were like what 100 of them.
That was the one series where I came away from that and said, this is why I know that sports like this is not fixed.
No.
Because everybody really kind of wanted
rallied
the
around
to
it.
Win.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been great for the nation. It would have been great for New York for certain.
I just imagine, like, going back to Bush before we say goodbye, to go up in that moment. Like, a lot of people are critical of him. I didn't love him as a president, but I understand him better and I realize
how bad first pitches you've seen.
Yeah, but not even like a Fauci who throws it, like, but like, in any moment, like, I went and did it in the New Britain Rockettes, and I was nervous. Like, to be in that moment, to
like
be that clutch.
Cold.
And he nailed it.
Nailed
I mean, it.
It
was incredible.
Right, it was. It was amazing. And apparently, he was wearing, like, a huge flap, bulletproof vest. And, yeah, it was pretty amazing. But the security was nuts. It was, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, well, you can say you were there. And that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
All right, listen, great episode. It's funny for Mookie Betts. to the World Series in 2001. Obviously, we are glad you listened and watched this episode.
And the Astros didn't make it this year. They couldn't cheat their way to another one. I'm so glad.
If they had come back, we would have had a whole different kind of episode.
Can you imagine? Like, Correa would still be rounding the bases if he hit a home run in the first game of the World Series. He'd still be rounding the bases.
It's good for everybody that they didn't make it.
I hope that team just falls apart and everyone disappears and goes their own way.
That's tough because I was always such a big Jose Altuve fan just because of his size.
He sucks.
But listen, we want you to listen, watch, and share wherever you enjoy your podcast. We'll be back soon for another episode of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!